That is the distinctive voice of Axl Rose singing Rocket Queen as Appetite for Destruction, the legendary Guns N' Roses album, celebrates its 30th anniversary. Radio Hauraki's Angelina Gray has been taking another listen. Kia ora, good morning.
I haven't stopped listening, to be fair,
really?
Jack. Not at all.
So are you a big fan from way back?
This album changed my life in 1987.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those seminal albums.
No, it is a seminal album, but it's an album where we've just heard the single so many times.
True.
That I feel like I have forgotten the album, and I'm just so tortured by the likes of Paradise City.
Well, you need to go back and listen maybe to to the other songs on the album.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, the thing is, though, this is not just a massive selling album. It's the biggest selling debut album of all time.
Whoa.
So there's a reason. There's a reason why those songs are played all the time in pubs. But it was interesting because JB Hi-Fi 2 weeks ago when it turned 30 reported it to be the number one selling album on vinyl that week.
Really?
Yeah. So I think there are a few reasons why the songs have stood the test of time. So I think one of them is when it was first recorded, it was one of the last classic albums recorded especially for vinyl. You know what I mean? So it was done all analog, you know, nothing digital, of course, probably really in 87. But they kind of, took away all the flash technology at the time. And it was cut with razor to 2-inch tape, you know, done on an analog mixing desk.
Yeah.
And I think you can still hear that in the production as well. It was made, you know, as an album, side A and side B. I still kind of think of it like that. So the singles, if you take the singles out, maybe they are a little cliched. But if you listen to it as a whole album, as a piece, I don't know. I think it's quite outstanding.
Yeah.
Axel's voice, to be fair, I think you're going to either like it or loathe it.
It is an amazing voice.
A 6-octave range almost. He's one of the
best. You're kidding?
Yeah. Yeah, 6 octaves.
I
think nearly 6 octaves. One of the highest octave range. Beats Mariah Carey in popular music.
That is a great fact. Isn't that right?
Exactly.
Because Somewhere, that's one octave there.
Oh, true.
Over the Rainbow, that's my fun fact about Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That's how you can see an octave. So he can do 6 of those.
Yeah, totally. Because he can go really low. And the funny thing about him is I know the album's all, you know, your typical sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Axel, interestingly, wasn't really into his booze or drugs. He was more...
Into kimchi.
His issue was that
kombucha.
I think he's bipolar.
Oh.
So he was on the meds. That's kind of his crazy story.
Right.
But people have said they think he's got a bit of a split personality disorder. So you can almost hear that in his voice when he's really low and growly and then goes crazy.
So when you've been listening to this over the last couple of days, going back and having a proper listen and listening to it as a whole as opposed to just individual singles, does it transcend the... It's 11:30 at the pub and the rugby team is getting really rowdy / it's Tommy's 21st... And he's just done a yardie and everyone, it's gone beyond that now?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it has been kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, I've said some mean things about Guns N' Roses this morning, which is not actually very fair because I do think they are incredible and it's a unique sound and all of that. And I myself have sung along many, many dozens of times before. But I just wonder if those singles have been bashed so many times that...
Oh, they are great karaoke songs, to be
fair.
Yes. I think, though, what the story is, it's come from an era that was full of posturing and strutting and terrible hairspray and eyeliner. And it was full of bands, you know, like, you know, they were all Every Rose Has Its Thorn and they were trying to be bad.
Yeah.
They weren't really. But at the time, GNR was so seedy, underbelly. They actually lived what they sang about. They were really authentic. And I think it's the authenticity that kind of keeps it through. Plus, the reason they're sung so often in pubs, the songs are so well written. Riffs, hooks are plenty. Vocal range and musicianship is awesome.
Have you got a favourite song on the album?
Oh, I would say that one that we came out of, Rocket Queen.
Yeah.
That's the closing song on the album, and it starts off, it's like a 2-bit song. It starts off really, you know, sort of dirgy and gritty sounding, and then gets really pretty at the end. And apparently Axel said that it's because he wanted the album to end on a sort of happy ending, like it's got a little optimistic thing.
Oh.
So
it's like a little tale.
It's like a little opera, 2 songs in one.
I like that. Okay, neat. We will have a bit more of a listen to Guns N' Roses and Appetite for Destruction after the break. Thank you so much.
Hey, no worries. I'm gonna rate it. I will give it it's not a perfect 10, but I will give it about a 9.3, I think.
There are a couple of
things that have dated, like the yowzers.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? No one needs a yowzer at the end of a song anymore.
But the rest of it's still fresh.
I think so.
30 years on.
Yeah.
Awesome. 9.3 out of 10. A very exact score. from Angelina this morning. Thank you so much.